I wrote it in my journal where we last left off and encouraged, but I don't know where I wrote it in my journal because I can't seem to find it. Huh?
Last was
main characteristic. Main characteristic, thank you. Was the last one we did. Okay, so the main characteristic, thank you very much. Now, once again, the purpose for encouragement, hopefully you recognize, hopefully one thing you got out of this, and this is how God works in many cases. What Satan has successfully done is distorted many definitions. He distorted the definition of love, he distorted the definition of faith, he distorted the definition of peace, and you have a lot of Christians who are walking around with the counterfeits and not with the actual things that God has given. Does everybody get that? Okay? And he's done the same thing with encouragement. And this is why, once again, going to the very beginning of the page of encouragement, and to the second bullet point. Well, first let's read both bullet points. The first one is to encourage means to urge, comfort, motivate, and remind. Okay? So encouragement has much more power or strength to it that we have to recognize, but understand the level of it where it says encouraging based on self and others is wrong. Always. Everybody say always. Okay? So I know at times it may look like, and that's why I've seen this, and like I said, it wasn't until you get spiritually mature when you see this. I've seen people go into situations, somebody emotionally encourage somebody. Not spiritually, right? That person goes, I feel much better. For that moment, it looks like it was the best thing for that person. Only to find out later, you probably did more harm. It's no different than somebody taking a drug. That minute they take a drug, at the moment, they look like, right? Now they're realizing their life's about to be destroyed. And that's what tends to happen when we do the wrong encouragement. When I tell somebody everything's going to be all right, and I don't know. Because then people, when it doesn't go the way they were hoping, they blame God. I've seen more people leave God in sick situations because we're telling them, oh, God's going to, when God didn't tell you he was going to do that. And now, at that moment, you may have encouraged them and you loved them to death until that didn't happen. And now they're usually not mad at you, they're mad at God. Encouragement must be based on God. It has to be based on God. And encouragement doesn't always mean the person feels better. You're redirecting them to better or to how to deal with it. Does that make sense? Encouragement isn't always based on the feelings. It may have even a different effect on the feelings. That's why it's urging. That means I'm telling you, you need to keep doing something. Comforting, but comfort doesn't mean I'm taking you out of the situation. I'm helping you within the situation. Motivate is to keep you moving. So that's where perseverance comes in. And reminding. You know what I mean? As a Christian, I may have to remind. A lot of times Christians kind of, we get stagnant and I have to remind you what you're here for. So that's all how encouragement is supposed to work. So we went through a whole group of things that really kind of explain that whole process. And Marvin, you said we left off.
Main characteristics.
So we did that last week. And we showed out comforting and we showed urging, right?
Right.
Okay, amen. So now, the one after that is we are encouraged by others' actions, not just what we say. Okay? In fact, you're going to get the encouragement even in a bigger way. 2 Corinthians 7, 12 through 16. 2 Corinthians 7, 12 through 16 says, so even though I wrote to you, it was not on account of the one who did the wrong or the injured party, but rather that before God, you could see for yourselves how devoted to us you are. By all of this, we are encouraged. In other words, we're seeing how these group of people reacted to a situation. It encouraged them. Does everybody understand that? Okay? In addition to our own encouragement, we are especially delighted to see how happy Titus was because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. I had boasted to him about you, and you have not embarrassed me. But just as everything we said to you was true, so our boasting about you to Titus has proved to be true as well. And his affection for you is all the greater when he remembers that you were all obedient, receiving him with fear and trembling. In other words, when he's seen how you reacted, this is where the encouragement is. I'm glad I have complete confidence in you. So they were displaying, and how they were displaying is usually the ultimate form of encouragement. Now, let me be very clear. there's one group that gets encouraged by actions more than the other. Do you know who that is? One group who gets encouraged more than the other. Turn with me to Titus. Turn with me to Titus 2. Welcome back, Sean. We missed you, man. All right, so Titus. Now watch this. I'm going to start. We're going to Titus 2. We're going to start in verse 4. Now watch this. Then they can train younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Now, which group? Men, period. Yep, men. In fact, the reason why I use men, go to 1 Peter. Even though everybody does, some or more, women are more, on a verb, get encouraged more verbally, men are encouraged more by visual. Do y'all get this? And God is showing it, and you've seen it just in that case, and when you go to the 1 Peter 3, watch this, starting verse 1, wives in the same way, be submissive to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may won over without words, but by the what? Behavior of their wives when they what? See the purity and reverence of your lives. Did y'all catch that? Okay, so men are more visually encouraged. Women are more instructionally encouraged. It is easier to sit down and talk to a, and I'm not saying both can't get encouraged the other way. You'll see in the Bible when it refers usually to a woman, it is more on the teaching and training. And when it's referring to the man, it's on the let them see. And and we just see two major examples. Did y'all catch that? Okay, so this is why, especially fathers, it's so important on what they see. You can sit there and talk to your kids as much as you want. They are watching. Good, bad, what they are watching. Do you understand that? More so than what the young girls are going to see. Do you understand that? Okay, so you can give them the best advice in the world, but they're watching you. And that's their encouragement, or lack thereof. Amen? Did y'all know that? All right, good. Everybody knew that now. Okay. So I want to make sure we know that. But that's an important point. So our actions, especially for males, plays a very big point on encouragement. So make sure we keep an eye on it. But overall, people watch you living, and it's a very encouraging. Even people who are non-Christians can be encouraged to become Christians. When you two are in the same job, went through the same turmoil, dealing with the same problem, and they sit there and they're watching you, and you're at peace. At peace is at action. You're not getting mad. You're not cursing. You got where I'm coming from. However, if they're at that same job and you're going through turmoil and they either see you act just like them or worse, why would they become a Christian? Right? You're more stressed than they, and they're looking at you. When a non-Christian is telling you, it's just a job we just got to do, and you're like, I don't care, and you're acting a fool. Do you understand? So keep this in mind. And this is why we got to focus on God and realize everything we do is a ministry. Everybody get that? Okay? So now, when we go through trials, it encourages others, believe it or not. When we go through trials, it encourages. So sometimes God will push through trials. Even though it works to us, it's a ministry to somebody else. Watch this. Philippians 1, 12 to 14 says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what happened has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Did you get what he just said? So in other words, it wasn't one of those things to necessarily benefit him. It was to minister, to move this gospel for other people to minister to. He says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, y'all see this? Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. What he's basically saying is, not only am I not scared to preach God, I'm not scared even if they put me in chains. It's like the question you're asking about spanking. Now, we do things on the outside. When God tells me to do something, if the law says not to do it, I don't do it disrespectfully or ignorantly, but I still don't stop doing it. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? When a Christian, there was, like I said, the one Christian lost his job for not lying. I'm not going to lie. His job was almost encouraged. That's something you're supposed to do. And if you're not going to go, it's not lying. It's just part of the job. And they kept using that. And when it was time for him to go, he said, I really appreciate all y'all did for me. Thank you. Man, he packed his stuff and he left. And even how he left, but people watched. You got where I'm coming from. It was an encouragement in the right way. Do you understand that? For people to go, wow. I mean, his belief was that strong in it, you know, in that same sense. So it encourages. So it's very important. When you go through trials, and this is why a big part of our ministry, and some people say, what's my gift? Part of your gift or part of your chore is to go through something and to let me show him. He says, whatever you do, whether in word or drink, do to the glory of God. So what that means is, I'm getting ready to bring you through a storm so you can shine your light to the other people in the storm. But if I don't spiritually prepare myself, not only am I worthless, but then I could become a stumbling block. Do y'all get this? All right? The predicaments and the situations you're in are for others to watch. How did you handle that? I noticed when you went through that, how are they going to fill in that blank? And so, now, if you try to do it, you will fail. You trust in God, you'll be prepared to do it. Does everybody understand that? Okay, if you say, well, when this incident happened, I'm going to be at my best behavior. I'm going to make sure you're already setting yourself up. If you just study what the Bible says and grow in God, you will be ready for any situation. Does that make sense? All right. Knowing that your situation is a ministry. Amen? You got that? Okay. So it's very important that we understand how trials fall into as well. Main purpose of our overall ministry is to encourage. That is the main purpose of coming to church ministry, is to encourage. This is in Colossians 2:1-3. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. Okay? And before we get to the next part of it, he's saying encouraged in heart. Why do I need to encourage you in something? Because your heart is your purpose. I need to encourage you so you keep going in the right way. See, what happens to a Christian is you'll read the word, right? So you'll start doing what the word says. Then sight gets in the way. I don't see this happening, and this starts bothering me, and I start feeling this, and I start going this, and I start hearing this, and all of a sudden it starts sinking. And that motivation you start having was going. And the world starts hitting you, and you start going, what is it all for? God, I'm not seeing, I'm not seeing, I'm not seeing. Does that make sense? A lot of people, their sight is their faith. They don't want to admit it, but that's exactly what it is. What he's saying is, I'm trying to encourage you in that purpose. And that's what he's saying. My ministry is to encourage you. That's why throughout the week, we should be encouraging each other in heart in these things so we stay in what God's path is, not our own path. He's saying, I did this, encourage you in heart and united in love so that, okay, so he's showing the other side, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. Okay, so the first phase is me to encourage you in the correct purpose so that you'll have the full access of understanding. See, a lot of times we have partial access to understanding. In other words, we'll know a verse, but did you know a verse? How many times have you seen me break down? In fact, I think I'll do it for an order of my step. There's a verse I'm going to go over. I know you've heard multiple times, but I think I may do that one, God willing. I'm going to break it down. And what I mean by that is to now, so you know it. Not only do you know it, you'll have the full access of going, oh, do you understand that? And when we study the Bible, we usually go through a studying part where you first get to know it. And as you keep reading it, the reason why you get a little more is because you're really breaking it apart and you're getting the full riches of it, if that makes sense. You're really grasping the full understanding of it. And that's what you want to do when it comes to the word. I want to know what this really, really means. Not just, I have this scripture that I hang up on my wall, isn't that nice? It's, what did he really mean by that? Do you understand that? And to really break it down and to gain grasping of it. He's saying, so in other words, I want to encourage you in heart and unite you in love so that you may have full riches of complete understanding. Yes?
What about a person going through a setback? I'm sorry, going through setback after setback, asking God what they did to deserve this. I'm a good person. Is this answer to them? They are Christian. Philippians 1 scripture.
So this helps, but a big part of that you have to tell, especially if they're a Christian going through this, is they have to reestablish or get deeper in their relationship with God. Sometimes I know we want to encourage what's happening nowadays. A lot of us are Christian in tradition or title only. Okay? And you never check it. You know how we see the verses saying, work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Where I say over and over again, make sure you're a Christian. And you have some people saying, stop doing that. Now when you go through a situation where your Christianity is supposed to take place is where you hear people make those statements. You got where I'm coming from. There's nothing wrong with you going to God asking a question, but you have more and more Christians questioning God. You know, God, aren't I a good person? How come I'm not doing this? Okay. And you'll hear them say things that are not in the Bible. And it's hard to give them a scripture because they're not sound in the scripture. So the one thing you always want to direct a person to who's going through that is back to sound doctrine. Let them know a lot of stuff you're expecting of God probably isn't what God is saying. And then you want to almost guide them back to, let's start from the beginning and getting to know God. It's hard to do that when they're going through a storm. But this is what God is bringing us through for us to understand it. This one verse helps, but the more you get to know God, the more you stop putting words in God's mouth, if that makes sense. But we become discouraged because we're more in a concept of God instead of what God said he was, is. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? When there's a Bible study, maybe a sermon, I'm working on going, how do you see God? And in today's world, the hardest part is, a lot of us have this, we're no different than what Israel did. We built our gods and called them God. And you'll hear somebody give you encouragement. You know how many times I heard somebody give me encouragement. I'm sitting there going, in my mind, where's that at? And I know they mean well, but I mean, this thing you just gave me, where'd you get that from? Wait a minute, what? You know what I mean? And it's hard because if I didn't know any better, I'm hearing them tell me something as if it came from God. And, you know, if I follow that, I'm being misled. And it's only showing that they're away from God. No God. No, in other words, just be the messenger, and that's how the encouragement has to be, if that makes sense.
She said they study the Bible daily and research.
And that's it. If I just study it intellectually, it's no different than me reading Moby Dick. You get where I'm coming from? Or whatever other books are out there. If I spiritually do it, the Bible tells us how to. You know, we're doing the whole subject of the Word, okay? So first of all, you have to go to a Bible teaching church. You're going to have to ask questions. It is going to be a bouncing. All this is in the Bible, how to do it. It's going to be a bouncing off of, like we've seen in Titus, there's a training that's going to have to happen from each other in it. So it's not just me going in the Bible saying I'm studying. It's going to take much more than that. Remember the Pharisees, what did Jesus say? And they were the ones that everybody held to the highest level. He said, that same scripture that you guys are searching for eternal life in speaks to me, and y'all missed it. Do you get where I'm coming from? And the main reason is because they did it based on them. If you knew the history of them, the religious leaders of the time were brilliant men. That was their problem. And that's why Paul said, whatever was a profit to me, I now becomes garbage, it becomes trash. Why did he say that? Because Paul was one of those Pharisees. He was brilliant. And he was like, I was one of the most learned men, and I was so foolish. And that's what happens with a lot of people. We start studying God like we're studying calculus. But if I don't study it using the Spirit, I can't understand.
So is it wrong to bring up the scripture about counting it pure joy when you go through trials of many kinds?
No, of course bring that up, hoping it'll bring a question to them. Not only that one, bring up Hebrews 12, verse 7, where it says, endure hardship as discipline. Then show them example stories of the story of Joseph and point the picture of not only was Joseph, what happened to Joseph, he was kept there. And if you really study Joseph, we only know Joseph said what you meant for evil, God meant for good. The question somebody may ask, why did he keep him in jail longer? Anybody answer that? Now you'll hear people give their self-right, well, because God wanted to stop, please stop, stop. You know what I'm saying? Because God wanted to. That's it. There was a reason why God did. He never answers it. You understand that? We do that. We'll start giving our own whatever answers. The important part is you look at that story. That's what God did with him. In Job's case, we got an understanding because he kind of gave us the headline on it. But if anybody would have told you before we seen that he's the one who told Satan, have you considered? We'd have been like, no, God wouldn't do that. Do you understand that? we would not grasp that. You know what I mean? So the point I'm saying is, the more you understand the Bible, the more you get to know God, the more you get to know God, the more you're prepared for anything and timing of it. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? So it's more in it, but a lot of people are trying to approach God their way, with their own recipe, and they'll use the Bible, and they'll be humanly sincere, and they're very lost and discouraged. And that's why we have to treat God as sacred and do it His way. Amen? Make sense? Okay.
I would think you may have said this part of the problem is that you said the intellectual part, but because of how we learn God through tradition and yep. through our eyes and what we think it should be, we can't conceive and we can't understand.
The four things. Remember I told you all the four things? You remember what they are? Ignorance, emotion, intelligence, culture. And you're going to find out those are the four main things that people are binding their religion in instead of spirituality. Take a close look and you'll see. And in fact, I can almost assure you that person who's struggling is going to be one of those four things. The ignorant ones will tell you stuff that they think God is saying. All right? The emotional people will do what they feel God should do. The intellectual will give you an algorithm and everything of what they is the only logical way God of doing it. The cultural will be from the area they come from what they think is good, with their government, the time they're born in. It can be anything. And it's going to be the, none of it will be what it, because the Bible says. That's why, like I said today, using one of those four things, we look at some of the things the Bible and go, no. Because of one of those four things. Y'all get that? All right, get a chance. Go back and read that sermon again. It's a lot in there that kind of really pushes that and gives us understanding of how we've allowed those things to sneak in. Amen? Other questions? Okay. So he's saying, once again, my purpose was that we may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Now, remember, we're supposed to have a what with Christ? A relationship. Relationship comes from the Greek word gnosis. That's what know means. So in other words, it's saying in order that they may have a relationship with the mystery of God, who is Christ. He just showed me, how do I get to know Christ? By having the complete understanding, the full riches of complete understanding. If I just know the Bible because I read a scripture, but I don't know it, I don't know Christ. Do y'all get that? And so I grow in it to know Him based on what He says, not know Him based on what I think He said. And once I get it, I have it. And then it says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do y'all notice wisdom and knowledge, are there's a word there. They're hidden. Remember that question you always asked me in Psalms? You know how in class, when somebody passes a note, you go take the note from them? All right. Okay, praise God. Okay. No, I was joking. But yeah, ignorance, emotion, culture, intellect. Now I was thinking of a teacher. I look back. I'm like, you're passing notes. Can you believe you're passing notes? Sister Rodney, why didn't you tell me? That they were As you know, she's my favorite student. No, okay, let me quit before I get drunk. I know, and then Lisa will give you a hard time, and I've sent her to the principal. All right. Okay, but do you understand? So, in he says, you know that verse we read in Psalms where it says, his glory is to conceal? Why? So we search Him. Remember, so we trust in Him. It says, in Him who are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the only way I really have the true wisdom and true knowledge is to have a relationship with Christ. Did y'all catch that? All right? And so it's a concept and a process. We don't go through this process. We want to, I read the Bible in a year, shouldn't I have it? Right? Isn't that what we want? I want it just to happen. Where he, in this Bible, he tells me how it's supposed to happen. He tells me how to have a relationship. And then you grow. And this process goes on and on. And that's what we're supposed to do. Very few want to do that today. And that's the hard part. Amen? Finally, so let's encourage one another in order to avoid God's wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 11 says, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, just like we did with the what we seen when we talked about the rapture earlier, the same encouragement, when you look at it, it covers just a small group, so it should encourage you to minister to those who are not in this group, and then to keep encouraging those who are in this group to stay in this group. He goes and says, he did not appoint us to suffer wrath. In other words, he didn't make us to suffer wrath. So if we suffer wrath, whose fault is it? Did y'all get this? That's why it's called grace. That's why it's called mercy. In other words, I gave you a way out, you chose. And then not only that, I'm giving you another way out, and you're still choosing. And I'm going to empower you to have that way out, and then offer you that way out again, and you still choose. I didn't make you to do wrath, you know, to go through wrath, but you're choosing it. He says, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, whether you're awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. And in that, in this process, so I need to build you up towards salvation and not encourage you within wrath. Make sense? Keep this in mind. So if I encourage you in those four groups or in the fleshly realm, I'm encouraging you towards wrath. You may be more successful in life based on flesh. You may be more happy in life based on flesh. You may think you have peace based on flesh, but you're headed for wrath. Y'all get this? But when I encourage you, you're going to be in the Lord, and your situation will just be, God put me in any and every situation. I just want to make sure I have you. So encouragement has to be in God, because we're here for God, living for God, displaying God, and growing in God. So don't get distracted by the things that are temporary, but hold on to that which is eternal. Amen? Questions? Everybody understand? All right. No questions?